have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Shout out D on the track, Paint Music Media. Shout out DJ Lee Productions, and I'm Al Care. But if you a game changer, got my head high, my grind on high. Win, lose, or drought, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. 'Cause I'm a game changer. 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 I'm full court press. I pledge allegiance to the best. Ain't nothing left to give it that reverence that the Father gets. So every day I work the sweat. Can get the flesh another rest. They say go hard or go home. I say just do whatever's best. It's evident I'm blessed and I work like it. Fight like a Viking, fight like a lichen. The difference is I like it, so I shine like I'm lightning. So I'm going head to head with certain death. Who you liking? Yeah. So it's time for coach to put me in. I'm strapping on my shoulder pads, lacing up my cleats, and then I'm gone with the wind. Like I'm gone in 60 seconds. You can't hold me, you can't check me. Check the memo, check the message running through. Like I'm baddest, I'm trucking whoever's standing in my way. Ain't no way you gon' stop me. You better off to let me in. 'Cause I go hard, even though they say no way that I could win. Like I'm Brett Favre, I'ma ride this game. My head to the sky, my grind don't high. Win, lose, or drought, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. 'Cause I'm a game changer. 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 Yeah, I told you once before, my God came to change the game. Different outlook onto life, a different way to play the lane. Now my rushing yards just got rocketing, now I'm so insane. For the kingdom building, now my shot, it cannot be contained. So I'm gon' pray for change, for myself and then what I can. I don't need no euros or no pesos or no money gram. Shout out to Wado, 'cause I know that he gon' play this fam. The FCA sports camp, game changer, summer jam. I don't need 100 grand to tell him that they need the lamb. It's heaven, it's just who I am. Al Kim, this where I stand. Man, I'm gon' play the fist. Hit too deep and turn it quick. It's like I'm out from the trap to turn around, get back in it. Never that, that's not insane. It's heaven, then your butt they chain. Like I'm Jack Johnson, the same year he changed his name. So I sacrifice my life for the cause just to win. And if you a game changer, let me see you my represent. My grind don't high. Win, lose, or drought, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. 'Cause I'm a game changer. 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 Now put me in, coach. 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 I'ma go hard.
I'ma go hard. I'ma go hard.
I'm a game changer. 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 I'm a game changer.
Hey, cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Married, I'ma worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. The light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright. Cruising in the whip, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in the praise, but I'm too hyped. Light turn green, now they hugging, they'll be alright. They be trying to put the hoses to my fire. They don't understand why I be praising my Messiah. Sounding like a church in my car with no choir. The windows roll down, turn it up a little higher. When I'm in the spirit, I be feeling transformed. Want me turn it down, saying no to lukewarm. God say do it better, do it being warned. Baptize my renewed, feeling reborn. I know there's a lot that don't like how I do things. They be trying to take me down, trying new things. They don't understand I got protection from the true king. There's a cross on my back that I must clean. Send a praise to the heaven like it's fireworks. Everybody want to chorus how the body works. Sunday night praising God till the body hurts. Giving honor to the Father for his mighty works. If you're looking for a reason, I can give you one. Think about a battle that you shouldn't have won. If you woke up in the morning, there's another one. If I was you, I would give praise to the Holy One. God gave me joy so the world can't take it. Riding on the boat, sending away, trying to shake it. Aiming for my faith on the daily, trying to break it. Real fruits from the vine, can't fake it. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they hungry, they'll be alright. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they hungry, they'll be alright. I just do what's required, this ain't my ways. Wait a minute, why they looking at me sideways? All the shade rolling in like a tidal wave. I just learned to turn it up on them highways. Going through, praise God, you forget the hurt. Praising God, water seeds that be in the dirt. Got my worship on high on the way to work. Hey, swerving in my Challenger, skirt, skirt. Gotta even learn to do it in the bad times. Broken heart even in the sad times. He can change the game around before it's even halftime. Put the enemy to sleep before it's nap time. The God I praise hold all the power. FPNL ain't got nothing on his tower. He can bring them lights any minute, any hour. He the one that turn your seed, homie, to a flower. Thank God for the chance when them windows up. I be crying like a baby for a sippy cup. Tears rolling down my face begging God to lift me up. Had a bad day, that's a good pick me up. Thank God for the chance when the windows up. I be crying like a baby for a sippy cup. Ay, tears rolling down my face begging God to lift me up. Had a bad day, boy, that's a good pick me up. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they hungry, they'll be alright. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they hungry, they'll be alright.
Bang mine, praying that the young hitters really get it. Hope that they got amazing, this is not a gimmick. Hope that they like a And I give them all the praise.
Look so amazing, yeah.
I remember on the day that Jesus, Jesus healed my baby. He's a healer, he's amazing.
Look so amazing, yeah.
I can't gamble with a maybe. Gotta praise him on the daily. He'll never leave me, never see me.
Look so amazing, yeah.
I think the world got it mixed up. Selling your soul for the big bucks. Gotta go to God, get it fixed up. Gotta go to God, get it fixed up.
Hey, Kimmy. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Mr. Cedric and Jason. Relentless Pursuit Radio. Mr. Kimmy, thank you. Today we have a good show on here. It's been a long couple of months, but I've been studying, been reading up on a few things, and, you know, a topic that's just been on my mind here lately is just sometimes we all have issues, and I've been thinking about it as a man in America, as a man in this day and time, some of the issues that I've been going through, and I've been kind of just trying to get everything lined up, get it all aligned, trying to make sure that I am on point with what I'm doing. So I just had a little thought, a couple of things I was going through, and want to talk a little bit about it. So I want to go ahead and welcome in my good friend Jason. Jason, are you on with me right now? I'm going to wait for Jason.
Yes, sir. Jason?
Hey, what's
yes, sir,
going on,
here,
brother?
Man.
How you
doing
been?
Today? I'm good.
Doing real
I'm good.
Good.
Been
doing
a good week.
Good.
Yeah. So good. Been a good week. You know, been hot here. Let me not lie. It's been not too hot here in Texas. So we've been enjoying the weather. How about yourself, man?
Man. You know, Kentucky is what it is. I'm just taking care of some things. I've been thinking here lately. You know, I've been struggling with. Not struggling, but I've been going through a whole bunch of stuff, and I realized that there are times when I'm just frustrated, Jason. You know, I've just been frustrated, and a lot of times in my own head, I'm frustrated for a reason. But as I go through these situations, as I navigate them, when I get on the other side, I say to myself, "Was it really necessary to be frustrated over that? Was that really necessary?" You know, I started to ask myself these questions, and it got me to thinking this week, Jason. It really got me to thinking. I started thinking that mental health, man, we have mental health problems these days, and I started thinking, where did they come from? I just started thinking of some of the causes, and I guess I like to call it that male trauma. In my case, that trauma that I go through, and I was just thinking, and so, you know, it's funny. I was doing some research online, and one of the first scriptures I came across, it says, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, And of course, I didn't know that's Philippians 4:6. And I was like, wow. So I really started thinking about in order to solve this mystery or to start to navigate these problems better, you know, I need to pray a lot more. I need to really get it together. So it drove me to thinking. So when I thought about today's topic, Jason, I thought about, you know, what could we really chat about today? What is a good thing to talk about? Well, I thought about that mental health trauma or mental health issues, and then I thought about what is that? I mean, what would you call trauma, mental health trauma? How would you define that?
So, I mean, kind of break it down. So, you know, trauma is just an event that has typically an adverse impact that you carry over time. You know, it's not like something like stubbing your toe or getting your fingernail caught. It's something that that wounds you, and you carry it over time, and it starts impacting, you know, just your whole life, every aspect of your life, from your perception to your responses to your total belief system. You know, I think that's trauma, and then the mental health aspect of it is that cognitive response where it affects my thinking, right? How I think about myself, how I think about others, how I see things, right? And then I'm an avid believer. If what you think is what you feel, right? If your perception is always negative, you're always gonna have negative feelings, anger, frustration, disappointment, you know. So we talk about that trauma. That's how I would define it. You know, what are your thoughts?
I would define it as just what it is. It's a trauma. It's a hurt that you experience in your life that affects you. The trauma itself is an event that occurs in your life. And so for me, it's like anything. The way I would see it is anything, but it causes you to suffer other traumas. You know, an unresolved issue pushes you into another unresolved issue, which pushes you into another unresolved issue, which pushes you into different behaviors, which all of them add up to what? Unresolved issues. So that's that, to me, that's that mental health trauma. It's a vicious cycle. And let's talk about some of the types of traumas we've experienced. Like I know one of the more common ones, and I don't want to make light of it, is parent-child relationship. More personal, and what hits closer to home, is a father-son relationship. There's a trauma there. You can be a absentee father and be in the home every day, or you could just be a flat-out absentee father. Or you could just hurt. You could be hurtful towards your son. You could be too mean, too strict. You know, you can cause these traumas, and so things like that. I've been thinking about it, and like, what are some of the traumas that you may have experienced in your life, Jason?
No, I think you touched on one that I think touched more men than not, is that parent-child relationship, and first and foremost, it's that father, and sometimes the absence of it, and then on the other end, it's the mother. And sometimes that overpresence of her, right? I think for me, one of the biggest traumas I suffered was that, you know, I was blessed to have a mother that, you know, didn't make me feel bad or blame me for dad not being there or some of the other things you hear about that. But the absence of that male role model in my life, that figure, it just impacted me in ways that I didn't even find out until the middle of my life. And here I am, a 40-year-old man, finally realizing, oh, this, you know, these things have really hurt me. These things aren't just, you know, situations I've been through, but they're true traumas that's affected me and impacted me to the point where it affects my perception and how I see the world, you know. And I like how you talked about the trauma. And I think we forget that sometimes that trauma can become a legacy, because if I don't heal from that trauma, then I'm going to pass it on to my kids one way or the other. And then they're going to have that same trauma that they're going to pass on to their kids. And, And it just keeps going and going until somebody decides, finally decides, hey, I'm going to break this chain.
So that's interesting, because until somebody decides that I'm going to break that chain, because I know in my personal life, having the type of dad I had, I mean, I was expected to go above and beyond in certain areas of my life. I was expected to have an immense amount of self-control, self-discipline, intestinal fortitude. I was supposed to be able to keep going when nobody else could, but I didn't know where I was drawing this strength from. I didn't know where it was supposed to come from. And my dad simply said, you can't quit, you can't stop. You can slow down, but you can never stop. Well, what kind of problems is that causing a young man's life? Well, let me go ahead and tell you. In my life, that caused me all kinds of stress and trauma. Why? Because let's say I was working on an art project, and I would work on that art project. I would get out ahead of the game and get it what I thought was finished. Let's say I finished it a couple of days before. Let's say it's due on Friday. And I come home Wednesday, and I work on it a little bit more, but I'm finished with it by Thursday. Man, I would go home Thursday night after school, and I would work on that project. I wouldn't even go to sleep the Thursday night. I would stay up all night working on this project, trying to be a perfectionist. And by the time I got to school to present it, I was so doggone tired, right? It was all about there's always something you could be doing, always be doing something. And it really led me down a path I became a very anxious young man. Like I always had to have, everything had to be dress right dressed. And for people who don't know what that meant that everything had its place. Everything should be a certain way. It had to be that way, or I would be on the verge of flipping out. I could not understand it. Where did I get this, right? My whole life, I never understood that. And, yeah, there were some good things about it, but for the most part, it was very damaging to my mental health, to my own psyche, because I thought that if I never wanted to be the kid or the person who got a grade that was a subpar grade, and he thought to himself, I could have done a little bit more. If I could have, would have, should have. I never wanted to be that guy. So it really led me to be kind of anxious. And it really created in me, I was a control freak. I'm going to say it like that. I was a control freak. Oh, my God. Another side of my life where it affected me was like relationships, like having girlfriends. Well, trust was a really, really, really big thing to me. I didn't just trust anybody, right? So when I trusted somebody, I trusted them. Well, having relationships or girlfriends, it was weird because I always wanted to be Prince Charming. But guess what? You're in school. You can't be Prince Charming all the time. You got to go to class. You got your own stuff to do. She got to go home with her family. And I found myself wondering, when we would talk on the phone, I never was a big phone talker, but I would talk on the phone to him maybe 30 minutes to an hour. I found myself in the middle of the night sometime waking up saying, I wonder what she's doing. And I would want to call her. Like, really, bro? In the middle of the night? And for all y'all who ain't at least 50 or 40, y'all probably don't remember having home phones, having landlines at home. We ain't had cell phones. So I'm going to call some girl house at midnight just so I can see what she's doing. So it created a bunch of things within me and those control things. And how did those things affect me? They affected me a lot growing up because when I started having relationships, let's say when I got married, those unresolved issues were still there. I never dealt with them growing up. Why? The biggest reason I didn't deal with them, Jason, because I didn't know they were there. I didn't know it was a problem. I knew it was weird, but I didn't know it was a problem because I ain't never tell anybody. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that I would go and open up and talk to somebody about. And so keep in mind, these things that I'm talking about right now, Jason, some people may listen to this and they say, oh, that's a minor thing. I tell you something. That crack in the dam, that dam that burst open and killed a million people started with a small crack. And it was a small crack, a stress fracture or stress crack that was never ever dealt with. So it became a huge gaping hole. Pretty soon a big piece of that dam fell apart and all the water gushed through. That's the same thing with these unresolved issues that we have. if we don't deal with them, learn how to deal with them, well, first, acknowledge that we have them, then seek help with them and learn how to deal with them, that's what happens. They become catastrophic instances in our lives. And so in my own personal case, I started to be able to identify with all these small issues I had. Like another issue I had, another thing was resentment. Because my expectation from my parents about me seemed to be so great, I started to resent my parents. I'm like, because they were kind of really nonchalant about it. They just expected me to do great, and I was afraid. I was afraid of never being good enough, but I didn't know how to talk to them about it. I didn't know how to deal with it, and so I dealt with it the only way I knew how to deal with it. And one of the ways I dealt with it was I started to resent when they would ask me about schoolwork. I would say, yeah, I'm making straight A's, or I'm making A's and B's, or I did this, I did that. I would just start giving them a report on things that I'd done, and I would never tell them how I felt. So I mean, for me as a person, it opened up. I mean, when I started to learn about trauma, I mean, it opened up Pandora's box in my life. I mean, have you ever felt like that, Jada?
Yeah. I'll tell you, my story is a little bit similar, right? You know, didn't have a dad around, and for the longest, thinking I'm okay, right? You know, mom, like I said, great mom, you know, never felt like I was without anything, you know, not one of those kids because daddy wasn't around. We couldn't afford to do this. We couldn't afford to do that. You know, it seemed like a normal life. Then for me, it hit me in college when I didn't have I realized not having a dad around, I didn't know what it meant. I didn't have a masculine identity. I didn't know what it meant to be a man. So then some of the things I got into in college, you know, the drinking, the wild partying, the bad grades, it all just came out. And even then, even at that point, still didn't know I had an issue. So I come out of school, you know, find a woman who's just as wounded as I am. We get married, have a couple of kids. And realize that wound and not having that identity really put too much pressure on the relationship and the marriage. And I was expecting this woman to, I was trying to define myself through this woman when that was never her place and role. And it was too much for her. And ultimately, it led to the demise of our marriage. And it wasn't a pretty demise either. You know, I'll tell you, you know, when that thing went bad, a lot of people were damaged in that. Right, and, you know, so I get through that situation, still not knowing, right? Still not 100% aware of my wounds. Enter another marriage, you know. Ultimately, that ends up failing, and at that point, I realize that there's something going on. And to your point, I think the most dangerous thing is when you don't know you have a wound, because then you don't know you're not trying to fix it. And you can't fix the problem if you don't know it exists. And for the longest time, that's where I was. And I'll tell you, you know, those wounds, the strange part about it, it's interesting. I like how you talked about it, right? Because some of the things you talk about with that dad who wouldn't let you quit is some of the reasons why you're so successful. And I think that's where we get confused, because some of the things that lead to our success are really hurts and traumas, and the question is, what do we do, right? The thing that made me successful is also the thing that's hurting me more than anything else. And most of us just put our head in the sand, and it's like, you know what? As men, we just say, well, whatever, that hurt and pain, I ain't got time for all that. I got things to do. I got families to raise. And not knowing that trauma is still there, and then once again, the sad part about it, a lot of times, because we ain't properly dealt with it, we pass it on to our own next generation.
So you touched on a point. So you said one of the things you did, you had these traumas, but you got in a relationship. You said with a woman who was just as, what was the word you used? Was it traumatized or broken?
Just as hurt as I am. Just, yeah.
just as hurt as you were. So how did you realize she was hurt when y'all got together? How did that play out in your mind?
So for me, it was a sense of, you know something's not right. You know you feel different about things, and it was a situation where I knew she had her problems and trouble, but she wasn't perfect. And I think for me, I knew that I wasn't perfect. So I thought the only person I could get, I thought that the only person that could love me back was somebody who was just as imperfect as I was. And somebody told me, I had a therapist tell me one time, and it hurt my feelings, but it turns out to be true. Healthy people don't date unhealthy people, right? You know, if you're a mentally healthy person, and you start dealing with people who aren't mentally healthy, you see that, and you're like, I ain't got time to deal with all that. That's too much. When the therapist told me that, you know, part of me is like, whatever, I'm healthy, and I've dated healthy women. But the more I've looked at it, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized she's right. And I'll tell you, as I walk this path of mental healing, I understand what that means, right? When I'm dealing with people who may not be as healthy, who may not walk this path, it's a different level of, I'm like, am I involving myself with this, right? And I think that's the challenge a lot of times, is that we find an attraction with somebody and a connection with somebody, but that connection is coming from a place of hurt, a place of pain, a place of trauma, and we feel like we can build something off that, and all you can do is just build mess. That's all you can build off something like that, just more mess.
Wow. So that brings me to a very interesting part of this conversation, though, Jason. So now you got to a point in your life. So we know what we know what the whole mental health trauma is, and we know what it's about. We talked a little bit about what causes it. You know, there are different causes, different effects, and things of that nature. And so, how did you start to realize that you needed help in this matter? At what point did you realize, man, I just need some help? Or did you ever come to that? How did you come about seeking out help?
You know, for me, it resonated with me because it was my second marriage, and I truly wanted this marriage, and I wanted this marriage to succeed, and I learned from my first marriage, at least I thought I did, what the things I did wrong, you know, how I could be better as a man, and you know, my wife at the time, she just say, you know, Jason, this is too much for me. And the problem was I had been walking this path and living this life for so long, it just seemed normal to me what I was doing. And she's like, no, man,
like,
that ain't normal.
Like,
no, man, this
like give me
this ain't place
of some of the stuff you were doing.
Like some of the drama between me and my first wife and the kids and how it would be just, you know, different fights, different things, you know, calling CPS on us, you know, just all this trauma that came between our marriage, that came between us when we were married, because neither one of us healed from them, we carried into the next relationship. And
right.
My wife at the time was like, this is too much. And I'm in my head, I'm like, what do you mean it's too much? And I start to realize, I'm like, oh, it is too much, right? But the sad part was I didn't even see it. I didn't even see that it was too late. And she's like, look, I can't do this anymore. And she ended up leaving. And at the time, you know, I was hurt. And I realized, you know what, I was too blinded by my own trauma to see how unhealthy this was, right? And that's, like I said, that's the scary part, is when you've done that trauma for so long, you just think it's normal. And you don't think there's nothing wrong with it. And you even think that you think that you're doing okay, right? You know, I'm doing okay at work, you know, been getting little promotions here and there. So I feel like, no, I'm not really affected by all this. But in reality, I was. And, you know, and that was the hard part, was me admitting to myself, nah, bro, you ain't got this under control.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
No, you ain't got this, right? And, you know, so once... bad part came, you know, and I'll tell you, I was lucky that when I came to that realization, it was do or die in my marriage. So I didn't have, like a lot of people, when they come to that realization, they're not pressed to do anything about it because there's not people waiting on them. There's not people saying, like, hey, I need you to change. I need you to be different. I need you to be better. And sometimes not having that catalyst in your life, you don't feel the need to do anything different, right? Oh, I'm okay. Oh, no, I'll suck it up and I'll get past this. Whatever excuse you make for yourself. But I would tell you that's probably what I would call my blessing in the sense that I had a woman telling me, no, this ain't right, which was a catalyst for me to say, like, you know, this ain't right, right? I need to do something different. I need to try to get this fixed, get this taken care of, right? And, you know, so for me, that's kind of how I got to that point.
See, that is good because in Luke 5:31-2, it says something to the effect that, and Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know what? That struck a chord with me when I first read it was because, much like your situation, my trauma has led me down a certain path. And like you said before, my trauma as a child, as a young man, as a young boy, and growing up, the way I dealt with it was to just always keep forging ahead. We never give up. We never quit. We just do a little harder. We do. But that has led me to a very solitary life. Like, I don't invite people into my life. It is very hard. Like, outwardly, you may see me, and I am this very energetic and very sociable person. But when you see me in my day-to-day life, I'm neither, you don't see that same joy, that same energy that you do when you see me in a crowd. Why? Because personally, none of that stuff matters. That's just that's a way for me to navigate the world. That's how I move. And I, one day, after many a failed relationship, I woke up one day and realized that the problem wasn't the relationship. It wasn't even necessarily what I was doing in the relationship. It was that unresolved trauma that I had in my life. And one day, I just really got tired, and I was at my wit's end. And I can tell you, Jason, I've been on the side of this thing where there was a point in my life when people don't believe me when I tell them that even I didn't want to be here anymore. I just didn't want to be here no more. I'm like, man, I done seen too much. I done been through enough. God ain't gonna ever forgive me. Why don't you just let me die? Just let me go. One day, and I can't say exactly what it was because I don't remember, but I decided I need to see a therapist. How do we get to a healing? That's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes, Jason. How do we get to healing these traumas in our lives? Because I have always been, I don't know if you were ever afraid to tell people, but I was afraid to tell people I had problems. But I realized that God had given me that spirit of timidity. You know, he didn't make me timid, but he gave me that power and that love and that discipline. And I'm supposed to be able to navigate life like that. And that's, I kept saying it to myself, but I didn't believe it. I knew I didn't have the strength to do it. And I started to really think about some of the commercials I heard, like some of the stereotypes about the black community, how when I was growing up, black people say, well, we don't need no therapists, we don't need no doctors, that's for crazy people, that's for white people, that's for this. But I started noticing a lot of these white people, now, this is me growing up, you know, maybe being a young man. A lot of these people, these white people we call crazy, they seem to be living pretty good lives. They seem to deal with these traumas that they go through, and they make it on the other side, and they seem to be okay. I mean, you know, speaking on the outside, you know, and when you engage them in conversation, they seem pretty sane to me. So I decided, God, I need help. Send me where I need to go to. And he sent me to this therapist. It was a black female, Christian. Sent me to this therapist. And when I tell you, Jason, that I didn't understand what trauma was until I started seeing this therapist, I didn't know where my past hurts really had come from until I started seeing this therapist. I could see no light at the end of the tunnel until I started seeing this therapist. I started seeing things get done. And what are the kind of things that were getting done? You know, talking to her about my childhood traumas, revealing, being open and honest about my childhood, allowed her to guide me to a place where I saw the healing that needed to take place, right? It wasn't just that I saw myself as having a problem. No, no, no. I saw a place where I had trauma that needed a healing. Now, I couldn't provide the healing for myself, but this is what she taught me. She taught me to rely on God. She taught me to basically do like the scripture said, all who are weary and heavy laden, right, said, come to me, and I will give you rest. And she taught me what the meaning of take my yoke upon you and learn from me, right? For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. She, listen. That is straight out of the scriptures. That is Matthew 11. I don't remember the exact scriptures, but that comes out of Matthew 11. And I'm telling you something. Going through therapy with her taught me the meaning of that scripture, taught me to lean on Christ, not to lean on her. No, 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 no. Not to lean on Cedric and Cedric's understanding. No, 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 no. But get a godly understanding of the troubles I was facing. Did y'all get that? And she taught me how to allow my spirit to accept the gifts of Christ. And that, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, is how we learn to heal, how we learn to deal with our traumas so that we can experience a healing on the other side. Because why? Because, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, that healing that we want to experience, where does that come from? Who gives us that? Who forgives us, right? Who's the one that forgives us and the one that gives us everlasting life?
That's Christ, God himself. Yep.
That's right.
And I think that's the thing. Now, before I let you go on, I do have to ask you a question, right? Because a lot of people listening have the same thought, right? Our community is not good about mental health. And to your point, you know, that's for crazy people. That's for such and such. How did you overcome that? To know that you weren't raised to think going to a therapist was what we did, right? You weren't raised to think that talking to somebody else outside your homeboys, you know, about your problems was something we're supposed to do. How did you overcome that stigma and that upbringing to make that courageous step? And that's really what it was, a courageous step to say, I want to go talk to somebody about that.
Ah, that's easy, right there. You want to know how I did it? I'm going to give it to you in two pieces. First part, real easy. I just didn't tell nobody. I didn't say, hey, Jason, I'm going to go see a therapist. I'm going to go see it. No, I ain't tell nobody. I kept my secret in my back pocket. I went on, found me a therapist. I went to a therapist. It took, I will tell you, it took over a year of me going to see this therapy, paying all this money, going to see this therapy, once a week. And I wasn't opening up and telling her nothing for a solid year. That's 52 weeks. You do the math. See how much it costs to go see a therapist every week. I didn't tell anybody. For a solid year, I told nobody. Matter of fact, I couldn't believe I was going. But I went, and I kept going. You know what they say, if you hang around a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut, right? So I just kept going. The real answer to that is I didn't tell anybody. I didn't share that with anybody. That was my secret. And sometimes you don't need to tell everybody your business. And when I started to have breakthroughs, though, when people started to tell me how my behavior had changed, when people started to tell me how I had become, I seemed to be more caring and more personable and more self-aware and just aware of them as friends, when people started to tell me, wow, you've really changed, which was about a year and a half into my therapy, that was when I started telling my closest friends that I've been going to see a therapist. I guess I'll say this. I start to tell people when it started working. Okay? When the therapy started working, when it started taking effect, I started telling people. You know how you go when you go to church and you first get saved? You on fire for the Lord, and you run out and tell the world. With therapy, for me, it was a little different. I went into therapy very cautious, very slow, very hesitant. And when it started working, and I just couldn't contain my joy, I couldn't hide the benefits of going to therapy, people started to notice. That was when I started to tell people. And I started to feel really good about going to therapy at that point. I sure did. I started to feel real good about it. But that's how I got started on my road to healing.
And I like that, right? I think sometimes to overcome things, maybe it is smarter not to tell nobody, right? Even your closest friend, what you feel like your closest friend, because sometimes if people don't understand it, you know, they in all their loving and caring, they become part of the problem. So I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's real good advice is that, you know, I mean, you just might not know this area of my life right now. But to your point, when it starts to work and you start to see the benefit and effect of it, then, you know, it might be at that point in time when people start seeing the difference that you can be like, okay, let me tell you how I got here. So.
Yeah, because I can tell you this. When you start to think about that, there are different techniques that you learn to employ. You know, like when you're going through therapy, you know, your therapist will help you uncover some techniques that work for you. Like I'll give you an example. When I feel inadequate, when I just feel like I'm not good enough, when the devil starts to whisper that in my ear, you know what I do? I start to reaffirm myself with positive affirmations. How do you do that? It's okay, Cedric. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry about what this person did to you. It is not, however, okay to retaliate. You should love your brother or your sister, no matter what they've done to you. You see, I start to reinforce myself with positive affirmation. And that's what therapy really is. I want people to understand that. One of my positive affirmations that I read today was, I'm learning to be at peace with who I am now. And I'm excited about who I can be. Going to see a therapist, really consider yourself a boxer. You spar and go to practice and go see a trainer to make you a better boxer. You start out, you don't know how to box. You don't know how to throw a punch. They teach you how to throw a punch. They teach you how to absorb a punch. They teach you how to slip a punch. They teach you when to take one, when not to. They teach you how to counter punch. They teach you that. Well, that's what a therapist does with your brain, with your thought processes. And so I started to learn different techniques on how to deal with my past trauma. And I will tell you, it helped me a lot. Like a lot of people think church is just for people who want to go in and learn how to sing happy songs. Well, I mean, that's one type of person that's there. But what about if your behavior is off the chain and you want to learn how to control your behavior? Church is a great place, but church ain't always the best place for that. And so when I was going to see my therapist taught me some things. Like she gave me this one model, and I forget what the name of the model was, but when you run into a bad situation, she told me, she says, you think about that situation, think about what it was, and then you think about why you think about how you reacted, and then you think about why. And you break that situation down until your attitude towards that situation when it arises again actually changes till it gets better. You know what I mean?
No, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And you know, and I think the key part in all you know, and I'll tell you, for me, where it started for me was that choice to say, I need help, right? To finally admit, to humble myself and say, you know what? I don't have it all together. I can't figure this thing out. And to know that, you know, that God has better for me. And I think that part is what caused me, because I'm like, God has better for me, right? Here I am walking with, you know, walking with Christ. And I would love to say, well, as soon as I accepted Christ in my life, all of a sudden I'm healed from these wounds and I see everything in the right state of mind, but that's not true, right? It took coming to Christ and, you know, and even going through that second marriage, that second failed marriage, for me to realize, man, I got to do something different. God's got better for me, right?
Yeah.
And making the choice to say, I accept what you have. Just tell me what I need to do. You know, so it's important that people know this. That first step is that choice to say, like, you know what, I don't have to live like this anymore, right?
That's right.
And instead of me seeing people and being envious of what they have, let me be realistic about what God has for me, and really try to step in that and embrace that. So. No, it is. Yeah, that walk that you described is one that, you know, I want everybody to be on, so, and get to that place of healing.
Yeah, and here's another side to that as well, Jason. You know, I think about it as we start to walk in our healing. One of the things I had to recognize, especially now, as I've been dealing with some really tough issues in life over the last few weeks, outside of, you know, the cancer stuff, you know, personal stuff. Listen, people, listen, everybody, just because you learn how to deal with your trauma, just because you start to get healing from the trauma, does not mean that the pressures of everyday life go away. See, another reason why we get therapy is to learn how to deal with them as they show up, learn how to deal with these traumas as they resurface. Because that's another part of our healing. Think about it. And then we get to help each other. Like if we ever do get married, we get to help each other. We get to grow with our wives. Like Jason, you mentioned that you just got remarried. And how does knowing and understand your past hurts and traumas, how has that played in the way that you're in your new relationship? You being married now, how does that affect that? I mean,
So, like I said, the point that I've recognized trauma in my own life allows me to recognize trauma in other lives, and to be able not just to be like, oh my God, what is this? But hey, I know what this is, and you know, let's walk this thing out together, right? It truly opens my heart, and it makes me more compassionate to what people are dealing with, to that trauma, because I know what it means to have it. I know what it means to have to deal with it, you know? And I think what it's done in the second marriage is it's made me more compassionate to, you know, I mean, not downplaying what I went through, but to understand what my wife went through and the abuse that she suffered from her mom, and she saw her mom suffer, and those type of things, that my dealing with my own trauma helps me be more compassionate to her trauma and what she's been dealing with. And it's just been beneficial. It's been so beneficial in our marriage.
Wow. See, that's awesome. That's healing taking place right there, I believe. I believe that's definitely some healing in that. And what's the role that God has played in all of this for you?
I think for me, as I go through the trauma, and now I'm coming out on the other side, I realize that, you know, how great God is. He's taken this trauma, and He's used it to shape me and mold me, and make me a better person. I tell my kids all the time, right? They used to ask me, it's like, hey, you never, you know, because they grew up with me and they had their dad around, you know, throwing the baseball with them, coaching their game, sitting up, you know, reading books together, doing tea parties, whatever it was, I was always there. And they asked me one time about me not having a dad, and am I sad about it? And I told him, like, yeah, part of me is sad, but part of me is a bit grateful. And I'm grateful because in that absence of my father, he created in me a desire to be the best dad I could, right? It told me, like, hey, man, you know, you understand what it's like not to have a dad around, and you know what that feels like. And I told him, like, it's only because I realized God gave me that experience or allowed me to have that experience, so that it makes me a better father for them. And they're like, huh, that makes sense. And honestly, that's where God is. That's what God has played, is because as I go through this trauma, to help me put it in perspective, right, to know that God can use this trauma and all what I would call hurt and pain and a mess and make miracles out of it, right? And that for me has done the most.
Wow, that is so awesome, and I think that is so true, because I can tell you, like, as I walk through this journey, as I'm on my journey, I found, like, I haven't been in church as much over the last, well, I haven't been in church as much over the last 3 years, you know, for many, many different reasons, mostly health and pandemic and all that other stuff. But I realize when I'm away from God, when I go long periods of time and I'm not studying the Word of God and I'm not fellowshipping with God's people, I tend to fall off the wagon. I'll say it like that. I'm kind of like an alcoholic who falls off the wagon. I start, like there are some times I believe, and I may be being a little harsh on myself, but there are times in certain situations that arise, you probably wouldn't know I was a Christian, you know, with the way I may react to a situation. It could be a thing that I said. It could be the way I looked at somebody. It just could have been just my reaction to a thing. And I bring that point up to say that, just like with any trauma, whatever you do, when you start to address that, when you start to overcome that trauma, whatever it is you do to get to that point, listen, you have to keep on doing it. You know, you can't do it just once and then that's it. You have to keep on doing it, because this whole life we live, everything we do, it's about practice. The way we worship God, it's about practice. You know, we practice His scriptures so that we know what they are. You know, I can't recite 50 scriptures off the top of my head without me having practiced it. You know, and that's how we show we love God. That's how we show we love one another. Patience, right? And forgiveness. And so that's the thing about trauma. It's always going to be here, because trauma is at the next corner. It could be a car accident. It could be a bad blood. It could be seeing somebody get shot. It could be being robbed. You know, it could be being wronged by somebody. But trauma is always, it's at the next door. But the big deal is, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with it? And that's what I think is really important about trauma. And speaking of, you know, we started this conversation off earlier, Jason, and I mentioned, you know, one of the things I mentioned was the Black community. You know, there's so many tools at our disposal right now, how to get help, you know, for these situations, for the different traumas that we experience. But I think that one of the things I've had to learn how to do, and I'm still learning right now, Jason, and I admire you for this, because I just ain't figured it out yet, is love. You know, when I experience trauma, I just want to be by myself. I won't let nobody love me. I don't want nobody to love me. I just need to get through this situation, and I don't want to damage anybody else. I get to the point, and this is one of the things that my therapist helped me see, is that's my way of protecting myself. And I don't know what to do with it no more. I'm tired of it, and I just want to quit right now. I want to give it up right now.
Yeah, and I think for me, I think when I think about, you know, those hard times, those traumas, and you want to quit, and the great thing about it is this is the best place. This is where God wants us. And it's hard to think about it. It's hard to imagine. It's like, but this is the place where, you know, our faith kicks in, where I know I can't do this. I under my own power. I don't have the strength, the wherewithal, the knowledge, the expertise. I'm so overwhelmed right now. I'm ready to quit. But this is the time where we just turn and lean on God and just tell him, hey, I'm ready to quit. I need you in my life. And then you say that and watch him show up. Watch him bless you in ways that you didn't think you could be blessed. Get a blessing out of nowhere. You know, get that check that you never thought you that came out of nowhere. It's like, where did that come from? I wasn't expecting that, right?
Yeah.
Watch him move in your life in ways that you weren't even thinking about. And it may have nothing to do with the trauma that you're facing. It's just God just reminding you, hey, I'm still God, and I'm going to bless you, right? You know? And all you got to do is just keep trusting me and moving with me and know that I'm going to bless you. And, you know, and that's what I love about this walk sometimes. Because even in our deepest, you know, in our deepest sorrow, we're thinking like, oh, man, this is too much. I can't be doing this. This is, I'm ready to quit. And that's when God will show up and say, no, man, I still got you. Let me remind you who I am. Let me show you that I'm going to bless you in spite of, right? And then we get to turn around and say, okay, I see you. All right. I see what you're doing, and be thankful and grateful for all that he does in our life. So, yeah, that place you're in right now where you're ready to quit is what that's sometimes my favorite place to be, because that's the place where I can say, okay, God, what you got? And he has not yet disappointed me. And everything I think, okay, what you got now for me? Every time I ask him, he's got something greater for me. And I just fall on my knees and say, thank you.
Thank you. Man, ain't that awesome? Because I'm telling you, I'm reminded that, like, where I'm at right now, I think I'm in a good place for Christ to definitely work out some miracles in this life of mine, because I know it ain't me. You know, I realize it's all him, and I'm dependent on him. Like when I read the... what's that passage in Romans where it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And whenever I think about that scripture, I think about the renewing of your mind. And part of that with me, to just let go. Renewing of your mind, change the way you think about this. God is love, right? So if I don't love, or for me not loving, shows that I don't know God. So if you know God, you know what love is, right? And man, I struggle to let people into that part of my life like you wouldn't believe. And I don't know. I mean, I know where it comes from, my childhood trauma. Again, we're talking about trauma and how to let go and how to deal with it. This is one of the healings that I believe I've experienced, but I haven't all let go of all the junk that's holding me back. And so I'm experiencing a healing in this area of my life, and I want to. And I just started praying about this, Jason. Remember I told you the other day, I said, man, I'm going to start back reading and studying the Word of God every day.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've told you that, I've been doing that. And I'm looking for God to move through in my life in a supernatural way. I'm looking for God to heal me in a supernatural way. And in a way, and I know he's going to show up and show out and do it in a way that only I'm going to know it was him, because only he could do it like this. Nobody else could make it happen like this. And so I'm sitting here, and there's another. I won't reveal it on the air right now. I'll do it later on throughout the year, Jason. But there's something I asked God for last night. And, again, I'm going to keep it a secret until he shows up, because, you know, just like with therapy, I don't need no negative talk. When y'all start seeing When other people start seeing that healing, that movement in my life, then I'll start talking about it. Until then, I ain't going to talk about it. But I am certainly waiting and moving, waiting to see God move in my life in that manner, because I really need it. I truly want it now. And I know that I feel like in my heart that this is what God has called me to. So I'm gonna wait, and I'm gonna keep doing the things of God until He tells me to do something different, or until He tells me to reveal what it is. But I'm definitely thankful for this conversation, Jason. I'm thankful that you're hanging out with me today. But I know that that we need this healing, and we need to all stop pretending. Let's stop faking the funk. Let's get out here. Let's put in the work, because you only get out of therapy what you put into it. And if you ain't going to see a therapist, I'm going to advise you to go get you one. And I'm going to be honest, I advise people to seek sleep counseling from what I call a secular agency. And what I mean by that is, don't just get counseling from the church. Pastors are wonderful, and we've got some trained people in the church. Yes, we do. But I'm telling you, if you get both of them, the church and what I call the secular, now, it could be a Christian. Now, I'm not telling you to go to some atheist. I'm saying go to see a Christian therapist, but let it be outside the church. I'm telling you, you will be able to meld both of those types of therapy together and form a better understanding of the Word of God and how it works in your life. I'm telling you, I believe that with everything that is me. So I know we're about to close out here in just a few minutes, Jason. We got about 4 minutes, but do you have any parting words for us?
No, just keep moving, right? I think you said
keep
it earlier. Just what your dad taught you. Sometimes you just got to keep moving, and as you go through this trauma, you know, I love what you said. It's not just a one time thing. It's something you got to do over and over again. But I think the biggest thing is that first choice to say, like, hey, I need help. Right? This ain't
yes.
Right. So I keep it back up in the same spot. I know I got a heart. I know I want to do better, but I can't. Right? And once you come to that realization, it's, I always encourage people, because they want to be sad about it. I tell them, be excited, because that's what the scripture said. I know the right thing to do. I just can't do it. Right? So celebrate that you have a book that's going to tell you, you know, exactly where you are, and that same book can tell you exactly how to get out of it, right? So,
wow.
I mean, just keep that in mind, that, you know, just keep pushing forward, keep trying, and keep trusting God in everything.
Amen to that. I'm loving that. I am so loving that, because I need to be reminded. And again, just thank you for being such a good friend. Thank you. I do want to say to you, man, thank you for always praying for me. I had some follow-up visits today, you know, about my cancer diagnosis. The cancer was in my throat. I got a 2-month follow-up. I went to see my ENT doctor, ear, nose, and throat doctor. I just want you to know that she said everything's looking really good, and
amen,
that I should not have any problems with this cancer in the future, but I still have to see a doctor every few months just to get it checked out. I have to do a comprehensive type screenings every 2 years. But man, thank God that we're on the backside of that part of cancer. It's horrible. And one day we'll be able to talk about it. I like to call it my walk through Hades, my walk through hell, because I'm telling you, it wasn't nothing short of that. But you know, I have learned to hold on to the Word of God. I don't care what the devil brings. You hold on to the Word of God, and you hold on to His promises, because it's only those are the only promises that count. That's it. That's all that matters. So one of the things that I had to learn was that in Romans 8:6, it says, "For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace." And through the life that I'm trying to live right now, God is granting me peace. Through the life that I had to live going through these treatments, God has given me peace. It was painful. Yes, I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody, but there was a level of peace that He gave me. So with that being said, I bid everybody have a peaceful weekend. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll keep you in our prayers. And with that being said, like we always say at this time, find something you love, chase it, embrace it. That is your relentless pursuit. This Minister Cedric and Jason saying thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. Sister Kimmy, you want to cue our music? God bless you. God keep you. Have a great weekend.
Take that hand, I'm going to hell and beat that fish.